All right, Alexander, let's do a preview of the G7, which is coming up right around the corner. G7 in right near you, right around your corner. Some might say, Alexander, I don't know, are you excited to host the G7? Let me know your thoughts. But let's start with a Telegraph article, which says Joe Biden should keep his sneering anti-British, anti-Brexit views to himself. Alexander, get into this article. I will put a link for this article, by the way, to everybody, but it is behind a paywall, just to let everyone know. But I will put a link for that article. Maybe you can find it somewhere on the internet. It's worth a good read. It's really interesting to read an article like this coming from the Telegraph directed at Joe Biden. What do you make of this article and of G7, which is coming up?
Right. Well, first of all, let's just quickly talk about the G7. This is, of course, Biden's first opportunity to meet with the leaders of the major powers that make up essentially the Western alliance. Most of them are NATO member states, but of course there's also Japan there. And this is his first opportunity, and many, many people are saying that what he's basically going to be focused on is the confrontation with China. I'm not convinced, by the way, that is quite the case. And of course he's also got the meeting with Vladimir Putin coming up next week, and no doubt he will be discussing all of that. But that's all very nebulous and rather grand, and I doubt that actually very much will come of that, or all of those discussions of any really concrete nature. What is much more interesting, and what is really going to be, I suspect, the major point of contention in the summit, is in the G7 summit, is that it is becoming increasingly clear that Biden is lining up with the European Union against Britain. And he's doing this in an extremely tough way. First of all, he is insisting that Britain must abide by the Northern Ireland Protocol, which Boris Johnson rushed through back in 2019 in order to get a Brexit withdrawal agreement agreed. Now, that Northern Ireland Protocol, in effect, placed Northern Ireland, which is a British province, still within the European single market, as opposed to keeping it within the British single market. And the reason that was done, the reason that was justified, was in order to preserve, supposedly, peace in Northern Ireland by stopping a hard border being created between Northern Ireland and the rest of Ireland, the Irish Republic, which remains within the EU. So that was the plan. That is what this Northern Ireland Protocol is all about. It is a direct legacy of the disastrous backstop that Theresa May agreed with the European Union, whereby the European Union, Theresa May, agreed that there would always be a non-existent border between Northern Ireland and the Irish Republic, and the European Union used that to try to keep Britain within the European single market. Johnson agreed to the Northern Ireland Protocol as a way round this problem. So that's what that's all about. So now Biden is insisting that the British must adhere to the Northern Ireland Protocol. And apparently, and this is really quite astonishing, what we are learning from the Daily Telegraph is that the US has actually been giving what are called demarches. In other words, they've been giving warnings, formal warnings to the British about what they should be doing with relation to the Northern Ireland Protocol. They've been telling the British that they're not adhering to the Northern Ireland Protocol properly, that they're trying to erode it, that this is unacceptable, and the United States has made an out and outright diplomatic protest about that. But on top of all of that, they've also apparently said that the United States will not enter into a trade agreement with Britain unless Britain accepts EU regulation of agricultural goods. So, in effect, what Biden seems to be trying to do is to squeeze Britain back into the European single market, which is exactly what, of course, Boris Johnson and the British government committed themselves to getting out of. So it's really very interesting that this is going to happen. So what it looks like is going to happen is we're going to have Biden and Angela Merkel and Emmanuel Macron ganging up against Boris Johnson to try to squeeze Britain back into the European single market in some form by insisting that Britain must adhere to the Northern Ireland Protocol, which keeps Northern Ireland in the single market, even though that's causing increasing disruption within Northern Ireland itself, and by insisting that Britain must also adhere to EU regulation of its agricultural products and of agricultural products generally before it will get a trade agreement with the United States. So I think that is going to be something the British are going to be extremely angry about and will want to resist. But it is very, very clear now that that is, for me, by far the single most important agenda issue in the G7 discussions. It is a concerted attempt by the Biden administration, together with the European Union, to force Britain back into the European single market.
Is there any surprise in this whatsoever? Zero surprise. Did Obama not say, literally a week ago, did he not say that the Biden administration is just there to finish off what his administration was unable to finish off, what his administration started? The Biden administration is now there to finish it off. Was not Obama in London, I believe it was London, during Brexit, where he campaigned against Brexit? This is no surprise whatsoever, is it, that Biden is taking this stance? Because this would have been what Obama would have done as well.
It is no surprise at all. It is exactly what Obama wanted. Of course, Obama actually gave a broadcast during the Brexit referendum in Britain in which he called on British people to vote Remain. And by the way, that went down extremely badly with voters in Britain and may actually have made them more inclined to vote Leave. But it's no surprise at all. It is happening because it is, of course, the continuity policy left over from the Obama administration, and it is the policy that the Biden administration is adopting. What is a little surprising to me is that this has come not just very early in the new administration, that was also to be expected, but that it has come in an exceptionally strong and forceful way. I'll just read what a section from the Daily Telegraph article. As both the Telegraph and the Times have reported, Biden's most senior diplomat in London delivered a firm rebuke on June 3rd on behalf of the President to Brexit Minister Lord Frost, declaring that Britain's stance on the Northern Ireland Protocol was jeopardising the future of the Northern Ireland peace process. To make matters worse, Yael Lempert, Washington's chargé d'affaires in London, issued a thinly veiled warning linking the prospect of a US-UK free trade deal with White House demands for the UK to follow the European Union's directives on agricultural products. Now, a firm rebuke apparently means that there was actually a démarche. A démarche is a formal protest delivered by one government to another. That is, I think, almost unprecedented in relations between the United States and Britain. It's the sort of thing that allies do not do to each other, and it shows how focused, how much of a priority it is for Biden and his administration to force Britain back into the European single market. They're not just saying that that's what they want to see happen. They are applying pressure on the British to make it happen. And they're doing so at a very early stage in the administration. And that pressure, one must assume, is now going to start ramping up.
Yeah, they're making demands of the UK. What does Boris Johnson do? Does he go along with this? And then I would imagine his political career is over. Does he tell Biden to stuff it?
Well, I think he's in a very difficult position because on the one hand, you're absolutely right. If he went along with all of this, his political career would be over. I mean, it cannot be emphasized too strongly that the reason why the Conservatives are in the dominant political position in Britain, which they are at the moment, is because they promised the British people that they would get Brexit done. If they go back on that, then their position in Britain is going to start to unravel. And it cannot be emphasised again too strongly that the reason why the Labour Party is collapsing in Britain is because the British people do not trust it on Brexit. They saw that it opposed Brexit and they're not prepared to back it for that reason. So if Johnson goes back on all of this, if he starts to unpick Brexit, then he will lose the support of his British voters, of voters especially in England. And at that point, we will undoubtedly see a new right-wing pro-Brexit party emerge, which will sweep the board across England and will put the position of the Conservatives in grave jeopardy. So on the one hand, he cannot afford to accede to these demands. On the other hand, Britain's geostrategic policies have boxed it into a position where Johnson's government appears to be very supportive of the United States. So he's in a very difficult position in terms of, you know, appearing openly to disagree with the United States on these sort of things. What Johnson and the government need to start to do is they need to follow the logic of Brexit through, and they need to start pursuing a much more active and much more independent foreign policy to the one which they have been pursuing at the moment, which means that they've got to start looking away from traditional connections with the United States, especially when it's the United States under someone like Biden and Europe, and start to look at other countries and other friends, including countries like Russia, possibly, which they are in conflict with. But, you know, that is a major conceptual change which many people in Britain are not ready for at the moment, but which I think, by the way, a government which was prepared to do that and which was prepared to face down the Euro-Atlanticist faction, which is very powerful in Britain, in the media and in parts of the political class, if it was prepared to face those sort of people down, I think it would be surprised at how much support it would get.
Yeah, you know, you're starting to see the globalists panic, and I'll give you my thoughts as to why I think they're panicking, but you're also starting to see why it was so important on a geopolitical level, once again, just geopolitical, to get Trump out of the White House, because Trump would not have done this with the UK during his G7 meeting, that's for sure. So it was critical to get Trump out, critical to get Biden, or whatever this Biden thing is, into the White House, right? Critical to get them in because, once again, you're seeing the globalists talk about reversing Brexit in one way or another, in one shape or form. They're trying to reverse Brexit again. They're not giving up because you can't have a globalist reset agenda without the UK on board. And getting the UK on board means pushing the UK back into the EU. And they're rushing Alexander, I think, because Merkel is out in September. Who knows how long Biden is going to last, or this apparition of this thing called Biden is going to last before you have to put in Kamala. And we've seen what Kamala can do with her visit to Guatemala. I mean, you know, they're saying, guys, we better get things moving quickly because Merkel's gone. Biden maybe has another year left. Then we got to put in Kamala and God help us, we don't know how we're going to keep this thing together with Kamala. So we got to get the UK back into the EU. I mean, wow, what a difference November 3rd made. What a difference it made.
It made a huge difference. And again, since you brought up the subject of Trump, this is what the article in the Daily Telegraph says. Biden's predecessor, Donald Trump, was outspoken in his criticism of then Prime Minister Theresa May for what he saw as her weak handling of the Brexit negotiations. But he never made threats against Britain and always championed a free trade deal with the United Kingdom. Trump respected the democratic will of the British people to leave the European Union, and his instincts were profoundly pro-British and extremely supportive of the special relationship. Biden takes a very different approach. He is a Euro-federalist who, as vice president under Obama, remarked in a speech before the European Parliament in 2010 that Brussels had a legitimate claim to be the capital of the free world. Biden has paid lip service in the past to the importance of the partnership with Britain, but he views the transatlantic alliance largely through the lens of the US-EU relationship, attaching great value to the Paris-Berlin-Brussels axis that has ruled continental Europe for the last few decades. And that is exactly right. I think that is exactly the difference in perspective between Trump and Biden. I think Biden's major policy bridge is to Berlin and Brussels. It's not to London at all. And the sooner the British understand that and start adjusting their foreign policy to respond to this, at least whilst this administration remains in office, the better it will be for them. So you're absolutely right. November 3rd did make a huge difference. It certainly made a difference to Britain, perhaps not one that the British fully anticipated, but now they see it and they should take steps to adjust to it as soon as they can. And I agree, there is a desire to change the geometry as quickly as possible. That's why I said, I'm not surprised that the pressure started to come so early in the administration, but I'm surprised that it has come as strongly as it has. I mean, a demarche, and a formal diplomatic demarche, which is apparently what was given on the 3rd of June, is about as strong a rebuke from one country to another as it is possible to get. And we must anticipate that over the weeks and months ahead, things are going to get a lot tougher for the British than they are now. They're going to come under joint pressure from the EU and from the Americans, trying to force them back into the European single market. And we should understand that if the British agree to place their agriculture and agricultural goods under EU regulation and EU directives again, then everything else will follow. I mean, it'll be just one thing after another. I mean, as we know, Brussels is extremely effective at applying salami tactics, and that is an almost certain direction in which things will go.
Okay, two final questions. Who in the Boris government is going to betray Brexit? Who do you think is going to betray Brexit in the Boris government? And the second question is just more general. How is the UK press reacting to this, especially given the fact that the UK press is very neoliberal in its leanings?
Well, absolutely. It's barely responded to it at all. I mean, there's been one article in the Daily Telegraph by a man called Niall Gardiner, who is significantly the director of the Margaret Thatcher Centre for Freedom at the Heritage Foundation in Washington. But overall, and by and large, the British media has basically ignored this story that there was a demarche. And to the extent that they've reported it, they've tended to side with Biden, which, given that its strong Remainer leanings, should surprise no one. I mean, you go to The Guardian and the BBC and all the rest. I mean, they're quite clearly on Biden's side in this quarrel. And going back to that article by Niall Gardiner in the Daily Telegraph, what he says is absolutely spot on. There should be a furious response in London to the Biden administration's demands of the British government. President Biden needs to mind his own business. It is not his place to lecture the British Prime Minister and British officials about Northern Ireland and Brexit. And at the G7 this week, Boris Johnson must stand up to Biden and remind him that he, not the United States president, represents the democratic will of the British people. All of which is true. But of course, within the Conservative Party, one can't be sure that Boris Johnson's position is that strong, or that other people have the same imperative to take a strong line on Brexit that he does. And we've discussed in recent programmes for this channel how there clearly seems to be a concerted drive on the part of some people either to oust Boris Johnson or to discredit him in advance of his ouster. And I've also discussed on this channel how it looks to me as if Rishi Sunak, the Chancellor, appears to be the person who's been prepared to take over. Now, Rishi Sunak, it should be said, in fairness, supported Leave in the referendum and appeared to be loyal to Johnson during the Brexit negotiations. But he is a person of immense personal wealth. He is widely perceived to be more sympathetic to engagement with the European Union than Johnson is. So it's possible, I'm not saying it's the case, that the ultimate agenda is to try and leverage Johnson out, leverage Sunak in, and then go back and revisit all the arrangements that Johnson made in order to get Britain out of the European Union. If that is indeed what happens, by the way, we will have a political crisis here. Of that, I can be absolutely certain. It will come as night follows day.
All right. Incredible story. We'll be covering it. Guys, go to our BitChute, Odyssey, Super U, free speech video platform, Super U, and our Locals community page. Connect with us on Locals, guys. All the links are down below. Alexandra's channel, my channel, and the Duran, all of that is on all those platforms. All of us are on all those platforms. And go to the Duran shop, 10% off when you buy merchandise at the Duran. Use the code REALNEWS. You'll find that down below in the description box as well. Take care.